to the book of John. John chapter 9. We've come a long way in our study in the Gospels, and yet it feels like we're just getting started. We've been studying chronologically through the Gospels for a very long time, and we're just now in John chapter 9. But John gives a very brief account of the life of Christ and then spends a lengthy time at the very end of Christ's life and ministry. And so it's really been good to see how God revealed these truths and gave the gospel accounts through the different men that he did. But we come to John chapter 9. We find a very familiar passage of scripture and one of the great miracles that Christ performed, and just one of my favorite of those. And certainly Jesus worked many miracles and healed many people, and we thank God for his healing power. But as we look at this man who said, "I was blind, but now I see," we get this wonderful account where man was literally blind and was given physical sight, but we see the great picture of spiritual blindness and how we can be made spiritually to see. And that's what we want to learn about tonight. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, as we walk through the scriptures tonight and we look at this account of your great power and the sight that you give, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Help us to see that we can't see. Lord, show us where we are blind so that you can give us sight. Father, I pray if anyone here is unsaved, that tonight you'll work in their heart and their life, that they would repent and believe the gospel. I pray for the saved to be surrendered to you, to take the first step of obedience in baptism and to faithfully serve you in the church. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to move closer to you tonight. We thank you for your great love and mercy, and we pray that you'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus passed by. We know that Jesus has been in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, and he's stayed around there. We've just seen a big back and forth that he had with the Pharisees and scribes there, and there were those who believed, but apparently their belief was just superficial. It wasn't a true belief, a life-changing, heart-changing belief. And now Jesus is just in the area of Jerusalem, and as he passed by, he saw a man. Now, Jesus always sees men. Now, you might feel sometimes that you don't get noticed, and sometimes it happens around here. Maybe somebody overlooks you, and you think that they just didn't notice you, or maybe they're mad at you. You're worried about that because they didn't shake your hand or something. But here's the reality. Sometimes we just can't see everybody, but Jesus sees everybody. He sees you, and he knows you, and he loves you, and he saw a man. And Jesus knew, and everybody in that area really knew, that this man was blind from his birth. So this man was born blind. Now, I want you to imagine that. Most of us understand what a blessing a child is, and we understand what a joy it is for a child to be brought into this world. We celebrate that. I got to tell you, I kind of smile. It brings me just joy to see a mom who's about to have a baby. I love that. It's a blessing. Children are a heritage from God, and so you can imagine that mom some years ago, as they were going to welcome this baby into the world, and listen, they didn't have the technology we have today where we can look at a child, and so many times we know what's going to be wrong with them before they're born. And I'm going to tell you, in those days that didn't happen. They didn't know until the child was born that he would be blind, and so from his birth he was blind. Now in those days, the Jewish ideology was that if you had a sickness or a problem, it was because of your sin. But for one to be born blind, that was perplexing to somebody, because the disciples said, "Who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind?" And I've always thought that was funny. What kind of prenatal sin did the disciples think that this man committed in utero? I mean, he kicked his mom too much, or he flipped around too much in there, or wouldn't let his mama sleep. I mean, what in the world did the disciples think? What a foolish question. And any time you allow ideologies of the culture and not what the Scripture says to determine what you believe, you're going to come up with some foolish questions. People aren't... We have to understand that the man wasn't born blind because of his sin or his parents' sin. And in verse 3, Jesus answers, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." It's not because of sin. Guys, listen, sometimes bad things just happen. And we know that all sorrow and sickness and death is ultimately because of sin. There was no sickness and death before sin came into the world, but that doesn't mean that every malady that somebody has is because of some particular sin. If I get the flu tomorrow, it may be because I've sinned, or it may just be because I got the flu. And so we can't just look at something when something goes wrong and assume that it's because of somebody's sin. Consider Job. Job was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was an upright man. And in everything that he went through, he maintained his integrity before God. The Scriptures are clear. All of the things that came into Job's life was not because of his sin. It wasn't his fault. Sometimes bad things just happen. "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And now listen, we may not have any idea why bad things have happened to some people. We don't know why somebody got cancer. We don't know why their loved one died. We don't know why their house was destroyed in a tornado. But we should never assume that it's because of some sin in their life like Job's friends did. But what we know here is because God knows everything, Jesus has told us exactly why the man was born blind. Now this is hard, friends. The works of God would be manifest. This man was born blind. He went through his entire life blind. And he went through everything he did as a blind man just for this moment when Jesus would come. Now you might find that, you might think that God is cruel. That he would cause a baby to be born blind just so Jesus could later heal him. You might find that to be cruel, but listen to me, friends. God is sovereign in everything. A.W. Tozer said, "When I understand that everything happening to me is to make me more Christ-like, it resolves a great deal of anxiety." When I understand that everything happening to me is to make me more Christ-like, it resolves a great deal of anxiety in me. We deal with a lot of anxiety in our culture today. It's kind of a buzzword. Anxiety and depression are things that we hear about, and those are real things and they're real problems. But you need to understand that many of the circumstances that cause us to be anxious or depressed, we need to understand it doesn't get to you unless God allows it to get to you. Somebody said one time that everything that gets to you is Father filtered. If you're going through a trial and a tribulation or a trouble in your life, it can't touch you unless God allows it to. And if God allows it to, it's for the purpose of making you more Christ-like. God wasn't cruel to make this man born blind. If you consider it, he never knew any different. You see, we're born with the ability to see. Most people are born with that ability. We grow up seeing, and because of that, we take for granted the ability to see. I promise you that this man, from the moment he met Christ to the time he died, he never took his sight for granted. Jesus says in verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus had a limited amount of time to do the works that God sent him to do, and certainly his ultimate work was to go and die on the cross for our sins, but he had many works, plural, that the Lord, that the Father wanted him to do, and he said, "I've got to do it while I have time, because the night's coming when I won't have time anymore. I'm going to be taken out of this world, so I've got to do what I need to do now. And as long as I'm here, I am the light of the world." And so they're talking about a blind man, and he says, "I am the light of the world," and there's a picture here, because he's going to bring light to this man. But it's not just His purpose in bringing light to this man was to demonstrate that he has power to give light to all men. Do you see it? I'm going to give light to this one man so you'll understand I have power. I'm going to perform the impossible with him so you know I can perform the impossible with all things. Jesus has said, "I am," many times. John records, John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." In 8:12, he said, "I am the light of the world." And here he says it again. In 8:58, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." He'll go on in chapter 10 and verse 7 to say, "I am the door of the sheep." 10 and 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." In 10:36, he very plainly says, "I am the Son of God." In 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in 14:6, you know, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then in 15 and verse 5, he says, "I am the true vine." And over, Jesus has said, "I am, I am, I am." And he's pointing back to the fact that he is eternal, self-sufficient God. In verse 6, the Bible says, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, "sent." Now this, friends, is a difficult thing, isn't it? I mean, you and I, we just don't understand some of the things that Jesus did. And this is one of those things in Scripture that most of us in our culture today, we just kind of find it a little bit gross, maybe. I mean, Jesus spit on the ground. He got some dirt, spit on the ground, and he turned the dirt into a clay, and he put that clay on the man's eyes. And for us, we think that's kind of weird. We think it's kind of gross. But I'm going to tell you, friends, there's nothing gross about it. Why did he do that? I mean, you think about the way God worked miracles, and he did it through many ways. Many times throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, God performed miracles by a word. A prophet or a man of God spoke, and things happened. God, we look at Moses and the wonders and signs that he did, and most of those were done, and he used the means of a staff. This is just a stick, nothing special about the stick. It was any shepherd's stick that Moses had carried in the wilderness for years and years and years. But when God anointed it and God set it apart, it became something special, and he worked through that. God worked miracles through the clothes of men, just clothes that had been worn by holy men of God. Even the bones of holy men of God had great power. We look at water, and you'll remember that people waited in the streets just for the shadow of Peter to pass over them. And it may be that even just the shadow of Peter walking by brought healing to people. And it's just an amazing thing to look at all the different ways that God used to do miraculous things. So why make clay with spittle? Some historians tell us that the Jews were known at this time period to actually use spittle in order to anoint eyes when they had some kind of sickness. They did that, and they used it as a type of medication for different sicknesses, the people and problems they had with their eyes. And they did that at this time to the point that the Pharisees of that day had added to the spoken law that they kind of made up, and they would not allow people to do something like that on the Sabbath day. So you can't mix up any medication or do anything medicinal on the Sabbath day because that would violate the law. And so some people believe that Jesus did it just because of that. I wrote the law, you've added to the law, and I'm going to show you that your law that you've made up doesn't apply to me. And that could be the case. But I want you to look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 with me. Revelation 3, 17 through 19. "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Lord tells his churches, I love you. Therefore, I'm telling you that you need to repent. And friends, churches need to repent. And one of the things that he tells the church, he says, you're blind. You're talking about people who have been saved and baptized and serving the Lord in the church, but he says, you're blind. You don't see that you have a problem. And what's the answer? It's the eye salve. It's the Word of God. It's repenting and turning to Christ. It's asking him to open your eyes, seeing that you have a problem. And so many times we don't see that we have a problem. And the Lord says, you need eye salve. I think that there are always pictures in what Christ did and the fact that he made clay and he put it on the man's eyes and he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. I want you to notice that the man went on his way, therefore, in the last part of verse 7, and washed and came seeing. He heard Jesus. He obeyed Jesus. And he was healed. Well, you see that pattern over and over and over in scriptures. If you listen to what God says to do, and you'll do it, God will bless. We think back to the Old Testament of Naaman and how he came and how he had to go dip in the river seven times and he had to do exactly what God said. We think about Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, how they had to go around the city one time every day and on the seventh day, seven times, they had to do it exactly the way God said. But when they did what God said, the way God said it, God blessed. He gave victory. He gave healing. He gave power. And the same thing's true for us today, dear friends. We look in the Word of God. We need to hear him. We need to obey him. And then we can have healing. Then we can see. Then we can see. I just kind of wonder. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind, and his disciples asked him, I wonder how far away they were. Now, you know that when one part of your senses is impaired, the other parts of your senses are heightened to compensate for that. People who are blind can hear better than you and I can hear. They can feel better, and they're better at sensing things with their feeling than you or I can. And I just wonder if the blind man heard. I wonder if he heard their discussion. We don't have any record that Jesus said anything to him until after he put clay on his eyes. Now I want you to get that. The man's sitting there begging and all of a sudden, I wonder with his heightened sense of hearing if he heard Jesus spit. I wonder if he heard him working the dirt and the clay in his hand. I wonder what all that was like, and then all of a sudden he feels someone putting something on his face. And all he hears from Jesus, he doesn't hear Jesus say, my name's Jesus and I'm here to heal you. He doesn't say any of that. All Jesus says is he feels his touch, and Jesus says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. I'm amazed. We don't know exactly where the man was, how far he had to go. But friends, to go across the room is difficult when you're blind. In a busy city like Jerusalem, to have all of the buildings and the paths that go through the city and just the hustle and bustle of the town and to be able to find that place, it's just, the whole account is amazing. And so he goes and he finds his way to the water and he leans down into the water and he washes the clay from his face. And I just, friends, get this. Imagine the darkness of being blind. And imagine as he begins to wash, and as the clay begins to come off, and as he begins to open his eyes, and the water dripping on his face, he sees light for the first time. Instantaneously, when he obeyed Jesus, he could see for the first time. I can't even imagine how overwhelming that must have been, because, I mean, there had to be people all around, and he saw people for the first time. And as he looked up, he saw the sun and the clouds and the blueness of the sky, and he saw it for the first time, and he saw the buildings, and he saw the birds that he had always heard, and the children running and playing, and all of the things that he had heard his whole life, but he had never seen. He sees them for the first time. His eyes are open. And what does he do immediately? He goes back to where Jesus was. You see that he went from Jesus, and then he came seeing. He came seeing. Verse 8 says, "The neighbors therefore, and they that which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he." I love it. I mean, he comes back there, and apparently Jesus wasn't where he was before, or the man went to a different place, but he comes back, and his neighbors are there, and they see him, and some of them go, that's the guy that was born blind. That's the guy that comes here every day to beg. That's the one that his family brings him and leaves him here, and his friends bring him and leave him here to beg, and that's the man that was born blind. And others say, nah, kind of looks like him, but surely that's not him, can't be him. And so he settles the matter. It's me. It's me. In verse 10, "Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened?" And wouldn't you want to know? I mean, when you're a neighbor to somebody and you've seen somebody in that condition their whole life, there's nothing can ever be done. He's born blind. He's going to die blind. But now he comes seeing. You go, how did that happen? How were you healed? How can you see? And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus I want to tell you something. When you meet a man that is called Jesus, when a man that is called Jesus touches you, when a man that is called Jesus speaks to you, your life is going to be changed. "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." I don't know how he knew his name was Jesus. I have record of that. I don't know how he knew it was Jesus that made the clay and put it on his eyes. I don't even know how he knew it was clay. But he knew it was a man called Jesus. He knew that he put clay on his eyes, and he knew that he gave him a commandment, and he obeyed the commandment, and he came back and was able to see. "I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not." The man had never seen Jesus, but he knew his name. He knew what Jesus had done. He knew that by obeying Jesus, he received sight. But now he doesn't even know where Jesus is. I think it's fitting for us today. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. I've never seen Jesus with these eyes, but I've certainly heard him. And by his Spirit, he has touched me. And by obeying his gospel, he saved me. And through repentance and obedience to his word, he gives me sight. Verse 13, "They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes." Listen, it's hard for us not to project our personalities onto the Lord. We already know that they wanted to kill Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath day. Back in chapter 5, they've been wanting to kill him ever since. Jesus knew this man was born blind. Jesus knew him his whole life. Jesus knew him before he was born. Jesus could have seen the man and gone by the man anytime he wanted to. He could have done this on Friday, could have done it on Sunday, but he did it on the Sabbath day for a reason. Because Jesus Christ is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, some of you want to kind of project your personality, and I do too, that Jesus kind of just antagonizes them just because he can. I don't think that's the case. It may be. I don't think he's just an antagonistic and just kind of likes to keep them riled up. He's trying to show them the truth that he is Lord. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. I like this guy. You guys would love it. You would love if this guy was your preacher. He beat around the bush, a few words, tell you what it is, and then he's done. He's a very simple man. They already knew that it was Jesus that made the clay and opened his eyes, and so the Pharisees had already heard from the people that brought the blind man to him, and so they asked him directly, what happened? He put clay on my eyes, I washed, now I can see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees in verse 16, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Now some of them looked at it and said, well, Jesus is healing on Sabbath day again. He can't be of God because you can't do things like that on the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. I'm going to be with the guys that say, how can a man do such miracles if he's not from God? I'll be on their side of that argument. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? He hath opened thine eyes. He said, he is a prophet. So they want to know what happened. He put clay on my eyes. I washed. Now I can see. Well, what do you think about the fellow that did this? What do you say about Jesus? He's a prophet. I don't know much, but he's got to be from God to do what he did. Verse 18, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now, I'm okay with this part. Wouldn't you be skeptical? They didn't know the guy. The Pharisees probably never paid any attention to him. They probably walked by him and all their philanthropies and all of their fanciness and all of their uppityness and all their religiosity. Looking down their nose, they couldn't see the blind man that had been there his whole life. They didn't recognize him. They passed by him probably multiple times every week, and they never noticed him. They never paid attention. So if they had have been charitable, like they should have been, they would have noticed the poor blind man, but they didn't notice, and so they didn't know. And so they said, we've got to find out. Obviously, nobody who was born blind could receive their sight. That's impossible. So we're not going to believe it until we examine his parents. So they call his parents and bring them in. Verse 19, they ask them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. That's good. That he was born blind. Well, that's good. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now, if that's all you knew and God didn't show you the heart of the parents, you might think, well, that's okay. They weren't there. They didn't know. They didn't know what happened. They didn't know. They know that that was their son. They know he was born blind, but how now all of a sudden he can see? We don't know. And that would be okay. But here's the thing. If your child was born blind and had lived their whole life blind and now they could see, why would you care about anything else? Wouldn't you rejoice? Wouldn't you be jumping and leaping and praising God at the miracle that has been done? Wouldn't you want to know how it happened and who did it? I mean, listen, I don't know how you guys are. Somebody in my family goes to the doctor and the surgeon performs surgery and my family member comes out okay. I'm thankful to the surgeon. Thank you. Jesus healed this man. If I was the parent, I would be thrilled. And I would want to know, and I would want to give glory to God and thank the one who had done it. But verse 22 reveals their heart of fear. Fear is always the enemy of faith. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. The Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. For fear of the Jews, they couldn't even rejoice in the miracle that had been done by Jesus. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid to lose their position in the synagogue. They were afraid to lose their religion. If your religion is keeping you from Jesus, you need to abandon your religion. Verse 24. Then again, you'll see the word again a lot in this passage. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now listen, when they say give God the praise, what they're saying is, now tell us the truth. Now give God the praise. Now what we want you to do is say bless God and tell us the truth now. Tell us the truth because we know that this man is a sinner. That's they're saying they know it beyond any doubt. We know Jesus is a sinner. So listen, now tell the truth. I love verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I just know that a little while ago I was blind. And after Jesus touched me and after I obeyed his voice, I can see. And that's all I need to know. I once was blind, but now I see. Those are precious words to most of us. We grew up singing the song. And I want to tell you, as good as it is in the song, it's so much better in the scripture. I don't know much about him. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But I know I was blind, but now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Verse 27. He answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? I love this guy, don't you? Now tell us one more time, how did it happen? He said, I already told you. I already told you. You didn't hear me the first time. I'm going to tell you again. Why do you want to know? You going to follow Jesus too? You want to be his disciples? Listen, his parents cowered. His parents were terrified of the Jews. His parents were afraid. But this man had some boldness to him. This man had something a little bit more stern inside of him. He wasn't afraid of those Jews. He wasn't afraid of anything. He was blind. And since he met Jesus, now he can see. Nothing else mattered. You can say whatever you want to about him. You can interrogate me as long as you want to, but I'm telling you that Jesus gave me my sight. Verse 28 says, then they reviled him. Now that word reviled is just as bad as it sounds. It's awful. They hated him. They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. But we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we not from whence he is. You can follow Jesus, you're one of his disciples, but we follow Moses. We follow the law. And how sad it is that they would claim that. All they do is heap more condemnation on themselves. Listen, Moses knew the Lord, and Moses followed the Lord. And Moses communed with the Lord face to face and talked with God face to face, unlike any man before or after him. Moses knew God better than they could ever dream to know God. And Moses truly did follow God. But these people didn't know God. And they certainly didn't know his son. We don't know. This fellow, we don't know where he's from. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that a man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now, I want you to understand in the culture that this blind man was a beggar. He was a poor man. He was an uneducated man. He didn't, he obviously couldn't read. They didn't have Braille in those days. He had never read the scriptures for himself. He only heard what maybe preaching or something that he heard in the synagogues through his life. But this is a poor man, a blind man, a beggar, a very lowly man who the Pharisees and Jews looked down on, and now he's preaching to them. And he's preaching to them one of the best sermons they'll ever hear. Let me tell you about Jesus, because you ought to know, this is a marvelous thing. This is an amazing thing to me that you don't know where he's from. I'm amazed that you, Jews, you leaders, you people who are supposed to know God better than anybody, I'm amazed that you don't know where he's from. And I want you to notice as this progresses that their hatred for Jesus and their disbelief in Jesus does nothing but step up this man's faith in Jesus and begin to open his eyes even more. As it goes along, you can see he's continuing to see and understand more of who Jesus really is. You can almost kind of hear him working through it as he answers them. And he says, now, we know God doesn't hear sinners. If any man's a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. And all through the Old Testament, it says that if you have iniquity in your heart, God's not going to hear you. And God's not going to hear your prayers. If you have sin in your life, and if you serve the Lord, he'll hear you and he'll bless you, and on and on. And so he knows the truth of the scriptures. And then he says in verse 32, since the world began, nobody has ever even heard of somebody being born blind being healed. It seems to me that perhaps somebody had lived their life and sometime in their life they became blind, and maybe through prayer and the healing and work of God, or maybe even through medication, that somebody's their vision was restored, but nobody had ever even heard of this. This is unheard of. Nowhere in Scripture has anything like this ever been mentioned. If this man, Jesus, were not of God, he couldn't do anything. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They said he was born in sins because he was born blind. So obviously, you were born because of your sin, and so they put him out of the synagogue. And it wasn't just they kicked him out that day. They excommunicated him. They put him out of the synagogue. He would never be welcomed in the synagogue, and anybody associated with him would never be welcomed back in the synagogue. Friends, this was a huge deal for a Jew. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and worship him. Jesus heard that they cast him out. Obviously, Jesus knew they cast him out, but Jesus waited until these rumors were going around. The man that was born blind, he can see now, but the Jews, they cast him out of the synagogue. And as the news spread, Jesus waited till the news came to him and his disciples. And then Jesus went and sought him out. Jesus looked for him and found him, and I think that's beautiful. And when Jesus went and found him, the first thing he says to him, so the man sees Jesus for the first time. He doesn't recognize Jesus right away, but Jesus says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now, he's heard of the Son of God. He's heard of the preaching and teaching of the Son of God and about the Son of God. And the answer he gives is, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus says, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And the man simply said, I believe. And he worshiped him. And I want you to see the difference. Back in chapter 8, there were Jews that believed on Jesus. And Jesus spends the rest of the chapter showing them that they didn't really believe. This man truly believed. And though Jesus had already given him physical sight, now Jesus has given him something much, much, much more precious. He's given him spiritual sight and life everlasting. Jesus said in verse 39, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. This might be very confusing to you, and it certainly is easy to be confused by that. But Jesus isn't talking about physical blindness now. He's talking about spiritual blindness. I came for judgment, so that they which see might not see. I want to take those who think they can see, and I want to make them blind. And I want to take those that they think they can see, I want to make them blind. And some of the Pharisees, verse 40, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. The Pharisees kept saying, We see, we see, we understand, we have the truth, we know the truth. We're Abraham's seed, we're Moses' children, we're following the law. And they kept proclaiming their ability to see. And because they could not admit that they were blind, their sin remained. But when you and I can humble ourselves before God and admit just how blind we are, Jesus will take away our sin and give us sight. I love this passage of Scripture. I love this man's response to everything. Jesus says, Go wash. And he goes and wash. He confronts the Jews and he stands up for Jesus. I don't know anything about him. I just know that I was blind and now I can see. You don't know where he's from? How could you be confused about that? Nobody can do what Jesus did unless he came from God. It's obvious. Do you believe in the Son of God? Lord, where is he? I'll believe. I believe. And he plainly declares, I believe. And he falls down on his feet, at his feet, and he worships him. And I love this, friends. Those who are lost are spiritually blind and need to be given sight by Jesus. But I read to you some verses from the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, that tells us it's not only the lost that can be blinded spiritually. For those in the church that were blind spiritually, they thought they had it all figured out. They were proclaiming their ability to see, and Jesus was saying, No, you're blind. And friends, we need to be careful. And we never get lifted up with pride and think that we've got it all figured out. We need to understand that we are blind. Jesus could do all things because he is God. And he always did the things that pleased the Father. The blind man said, No man can do the things that he's done except he came from God. Jesus Christ can do everything in your life, but you have to understand that you need him. Not just for salvation, but sanctification and for every day of our lives. We need him. Let's stand together. As our musicians come, will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time in your house, Lord, as we've gathered to sing your praises and to spend time in your word. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to realize our blindness. That we wouldn't proclaim our ability to see, but we would understand that we desperately need you. We need your truth. We need you to give us sight in salvation and in sanctification in every day of our lives. Please, Lord, humble our hearts. And I pray that you would give us sight, give us wisdom and understanding and truth, that we would see and we would obey and we would follow you. Lord, I pray that you would give us a boldness to stand up for Jesus in the face of critics, in the face of those that revile your name. Give us courage and boldness. Lord, convict hearts now. I pray that your will would be done in every life. In Jesus' name, amen.
560. 560.